Schwabe.
CBS News Brief. 5 Marines are still missing in California, where their helicopter went down in snowy conditions this morning. CBS San Diego reporter Kelly Hesedal has the latest.
According to the military, the search is now on for the 5 Marines who were on board. A group of Marines geared up and left, presumably, to go to the crash site.
The Senate failed to pass a bipartisan border deal today that would have included aid for Israel and Ukraine. Oklahoma Republican James Lankford was a lead negotiator.
I understand we have differences, but we've got to sit down together, figure out how we're going to solve problems, because the American people sent us here to do that.
And Israel is dismissing a Hamas plan to end fighting in Gaza and secure the release of more hostages. Correspondent Robert Berger.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu described Hamas's terms for a ceasefire as outrageous. He said if Israel surrenders to these demands, it would invite another massacre.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin have a new website listing all online courses across the system's 13 campuses. The website lists more than 200 online programs and links to the campuses that offer them. The UW system is facing an $18 million deficit by this summer after years of declining enrollment and lower state aid. 4 two-year branch campuses are closing. A Republican bill aims to ban so-called loyalty oaths from Wisconsin state universities and technical colleges. The target is diversity, equity, and inclusion, but Democratic Representative Joni Emerson worries about unintended consequences.
Would this mean that we wouldn't be able to have any college Democrats, college Republican clubs, any sort of religious organization clubs?
The bill got a hearing yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Internet subsidies in Wisconsin are about to expire. This will affect more than 400,000 low-income households in the state who receive help with their internet bills each month. According to a release from the Federal Communications Commission, the Affordable Connectivity Program will stop accepting new enrollments today. The funding is expected to last through April of 2024 and will run out completely sometime in May if no other federal funding is allocated. Many households in Wood County rely on the ACP to pay for high-speed internet service they need for school, work, healthcare, and more. Raffle tickets are on sale now for the Power of the Purse with the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. You can purchase them at the United Way office, $1 each or 6 for $5. The raffle will be held at the Bullseye Golf Club on March 12th. You do not need to be present to win. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
More changes in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers have hired a new linebackers coach. Anthony Campanile spent the last 4 seasons with the Dolphins. Meanwhile, the Dolphins have named Joe Barry their new linebackers coach. College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers in Ann Arbor to face the Michigan Wolverines. Then on Saturday, they're on the road against Rutgers. NBA, the Bucks losing in Phoenix 114-106. Giannis led the game with 34 points, but the Bucks were shorthanded due to injuries. Strange situation. The NBA named Doc Rivers the head coach of the Eastern Conference team with the upcoming All-Star game, even though Adrian Griffin was the head coach when the team had the second best record in the conference. Doc Rivers suggesting he give the check and ring to Griffin.
Well, Adrian's going to get some money, that's for sure, and a ring. Other than me, maybe I'll send my staff.
Shaq had this to say on TNT.
Like he said, it's one of those quirky things. Accidental. I like his response.
That's Shaquille O'Neal with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
A
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We smashed record highs yesterday, so why not again today? The number to beat is 51 degrees set back in 1987, and today's highs are expected to rise to the low 50s. Stuck under cloudy skies, though, and winds becoming breezy, gusting up to 25 miles per hour. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 7 on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this February 7th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and welcoming to the studio, we have our great friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. I want to send a shout-out to Joe and the gang over there. Appreciate you guys so much. We got to talk, by the way, more. We got to talk later. it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And we have with us our good friend, Sheriff Sean Becker, representing our Wood County Sheriff's Department. Sean, thank you so much for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Good to have you in studio. Good to have you with us. And in a little bit, we're looking forward to bringing in a friend. We have Lieutenant Susan Wagner with us.
Yeah, and her therapy dog, Lola.
Yeah.
She's out outside right now making sure that she doesn't do something inside that we wouldn't all like.
Appreciate that. we certainly appreciate that, and really, really appreciate Lieutenant Wagner being with us so much for the time. And so we'll go ahead and we'll go right to her, but then we got some notes from you I'm sure we want to get to.
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
Lieutenant Wagner, I want you to go ahead and be able to get situated first. I'm sorry, I don't want to put you on the spot right away as soon as you walk in the door. I feel bad. Well, I don't mean to do that, but thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate the time. First, I'm curious, are you in a particular department? Do you have anything to do with the K-9 unit, or is this just
she does
a...
know. No.
So I am currently in the jail working as a lieutenant, and it was... Now I am part of the K-9 unit at the department.
I imagine that takes a bit of an adjustment going from there to there. It's quite a bit of different things that you've got to learn and do and that.
Correct, yes. Yeah, so now I'm going to be going to obedience training with Lola and...
For you or the dog?
Yes, I know. Both. Yeah. So, it's a learning process for both of us.
Hmm. Is this something you ever thought you would do in your career?
I have been hoping to be able to have a therapy dog in the jail. I just figured that we would wait until we had the new jail and more space and room.
And now with the new jail kind of on the horizon, this seems like a good time to do this.
Well, it's a funny story how this happened. Marshall Police Department, their police chief, Jody Gerwing, contacted me, and there's a breeder up in Marathon County that offered them a dog. And they had just gotten a therapy dog already. And he said, you know, which was really nice. Jody thought of us and gave us a call. And I said, you know what, let me kick it around. It does fit, you know, in our legacy grant that we got that we're looking towards how we can expand our canine unit into, the mental health field because it's so needed. And so we kicked it around. You know, we started looking at, all right, what would be the best fit for the sheriff's department to have a therapy dog, you know, on patrol, you know, maybe with security services. You know, that was kind of the first thing that we thought of because, you know, the exposure to the public would be, you know, quite a bit, you know, because people coming in and out of the courthouse would get the opportunity to see the therapy dog. And then the jail. And, you know, it was just by chance, Suzanne and I were talking in my office and, hey, we've got the opportunity. This breeder wants to give us the dog. It's a purebred black lab. And she jumped on it. She's like, this is something that, you know, I've wanted to do for, you know, 5+ years. It really fits with our mental health initiatives in the jail. Susanna does an awesome job with our jail programming. A lot of the programs that we do, like with Three Bridges, like with Mid-State, she oversees those programs. So it was like, oh, this makes 100% sense, you know. Yeah. But under two conditions. One, She had to get permission from her husband, Bill.
Yeah.
That support. Mm-hmm. And then also with our jail captain, Ted Ashbeck. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he needs, and our leadership needs to be on board within the facility as well. And both of them gave a thumbs up, and here we are.
Right,
we're really lucky. And especially with the Legacy Foundation, you know, with the grant to our canine unit, this just perfectly fits our initiative, you know, in expanding what we want to do with the mental health initiatives that we've been part of for so long.
The I think as a society have already agreed on this, but it gets a little bit gray in some areas when it comes to how certain individuals feel. But the purpose of this is all to rehabilitate.
Yeah.
You do something wrong. You do your time, you come out, and you're better, and you add mm-hmm. to society. This is the point of all of this.
Big part of it.
Big part of it, yes, big part of it. When it comes to while you are incarcerated and making you hopefully a better person so that when you pop out, you are putting back into society,
yep.
How do we get a person to that place? These are the things that we're learning and we're figuring out. And one of the things we have figured out, and the science shows this, the numbers show this, that therapy animals make a big impact on the prison population. Now, this does this for retirement homes. It does it for special needs communities. Like, animals do this all over the place, as Lola's telling us. Lola's agreeing with me right now.
Got that right.
So I think that needs to be put out there right away, the point of this. And I also want to get into what a therapy animal is. I think for a lot of people, they see headlines. They see, person tried to bring their therapy armadillo onto a plane with them, and that's all that they see about this subject. So, let's talking about what therapy animals are, and not only legally, but what they are emotionally, if we can, just a little bit. And again, not to put you on the spot, Susan, but because I know you're a little new to the industry, but it's something that you seem familiar with, and you seem so good with Lola. You guys seem like you're really good together and everything. So what is, technically, what is a therapy animal?
A therapy animal is going to provide emotional support for people who are in distress, you know, a crisis situation. She's going to be allowed to, you know, be in the jail, mm-hmm. have the inmates see her, focus on her. They talk about their dogs. They talk about, you know, what they have at home, and mm-hmm. it makes them in a better place. And for a few minutes, they can focus on something other than their immediate troubles.
Yeah. What should people know about therapy animals or in this scenario, or whether it's in a jail in this situation or just in life in general? You're walking around, you see a therapy animal.
Most of the time, therapy animals, you know, they want to be pet, and they need that interaction from everybody, so they get used to the, you know, strangers. Mm-hmm. So that interaction keeps progressing while they're in the training process. They're just meant to be out there loved on.
I think for a lot of people, they either mix the worlds or get confused a little bit by seeing eye dogs. And a lot of the time with seeing eye dog, you're not supposed to go and pet them. You're not supposed to kind of distract them or these things. Therapy animals, a little bit different.
Correct. So those would be more service dogs.
Right.
And then Lola's going to be the therapy part of it.
And just understanding these differences, I think, only helps going forward, and certainly helps the animal and the person using the animal. Let's talk a little about Lola. I've waited long enough. I think I've been a good boy. I think I've been good. Tell us a little bit about Lola, if you don't mind.
So Lola is 11 weeks. She's a Black Labrador, and she is obviously in the puppy stage, so she chews a lot. She is learning to be potty trained, but she has a great personality. She loves to meet people, and she's just pretty much happy, and she's either running around full speed or sleeping right now.
Lola seems like the perfect type of animal for this job. What makes an animal a good therapy animal?
So before we did not pick her out. The breeder mm-hmm. picked her out for us, and because they raise these dogs for therapy pups. Mm. So she just said the way, you know, just you could hold her. She was loving, would play like a puppy, but then would also would be relaxed and.
Yeah. When it comes to the impact Lola can have on people that are incarcerated, people that are in the jail, incarcerated people certainly, sure, but even the rest of the staff there, what kind of impact can she have? What kind of positive can she bring?
Therapy dogs have been proven to lower blood pressure, improve morale, everyone is happy to see her when I bring her in the mornings, and just throughout their day when they're having a stressful situation. Sometimes we have, you know, incidents that take place that are really stressful, and Lola just provides them a spot to just come in and de-stress and forget about that and then move on with their day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that you don't have to stretch to find a reason of what an impact these animals can make. Just the other night, my dad had a long night, hurt himself. I'm up all night with him. Really stressful. I got to be here at 5 in the morning. I'm not going to get any sleep, and I'm all stressed out. I'm rushing around and everything. And I walk past, and I see my fur brother, Sam. And he's just sitting there laying down at like 2 in the morning, looks up at me, and just him looking up at me stopped everything. I just stopped. I pet him, and I immediately felt better. I'm like, everything's cool. Everything's all right. Like, animals do this for us all the time. We've kind of normalized what they do, but it doesn't make it any less impactful or any less meaningful. And it wouldn't be any different from your living room to the jail, where these animals can make this impact.
Correct. And just having Lola in a facility where you normally would not see a dog, and then just to see how she brightens up everybody's day. Yesterday, I took her out by, we have court every day, and you know, they get stressed before they go to court, so I just brought her out and just kind of let them focus on her and let her, you know, they got to pet her and meet her. And
there's this idea with some of society and some people out there that once you are convicted of a crime, that that's where the real punishment begins, and that's where you really need to do, you know, this and this and this and all. That there's this idea from some people in society of this sort of being too nice or too soft on crime or something like that. That has never made any sense to me. I don't believe that is a real thing. I don't think that truly exists. I think that exists in some people's minds that don't understand and don't do their homework on these subjects. A person is immediately paying for their crime the moment they are arrested. And it begins there, and it keeps continuing. And it is on that person to learn and grow from that. Now, while they're in prison, being able to do those things, you got time on your hands. Right. You know, and in order to keep that mindset, that mental health up, is important.
Yes.
Animals can do that. Now, it all adds up to the overall goal here. If you don't think that that's kosher, if you don't like something like that, I bet you like having a good society. I bet you like having a better society. This is one of the steps it takes to get to that. This goes all the way back to our first conversation, sir, where you and I were talking about ending that revolving door.
Yep.
Of how do we stop the person that keeps committing crimes? Well, we know that it's not just, well, we got to tack on, and you know what, jaywalking, 20 years for jaywalking, that'll do it. Like, no, well, we've seen in society that doesn't work.
No.
Oh, we'll try the three-strike thing. Oh, that doesn't work. Okay, well, what can we do? How do we make this work? And you and your team, along with many others around the country, realize mental health is a big part of this.
Huge.
All of a sudden asking why people are doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of that process.
Right.
Having therapy animals, having some of these things going on in the prison.
No, exactly. I don't know what else to say. No, I completely agree with you, James. And like I said, the initiatives that we've been doing the last years in reference to mental health, not only with, you know, within the jail, but out in the community as much as we can, as far as training our deputies and law enforcement officers and corrections officers, you know, segueing in. We had a CIT training yesterday, an advanced one that was revolving around addiction. And we had talked about that before. I went to the class last year, and I told the coordinators, I'm like, this needs to be, you know, brought up again for, you know, our corrections officers and deputies. So not only you can see, you know, what drug trends are, you know, in the area. All right. Now you can see what the effects are, because a psychologist comes in, a doctor comes in, and seeing what, you know, what does meth do to your brain? What does cocaine, alcohol? And then to bring it all together, you bring in people in recovery, and they come in and they talk to, you know, the law enforcement officers. So they share their story, you know, and it's a tough story that they're going through, and they're still going through it, but they're all at different stages of their life through their recovery. And people, you know, our law enforcement officers seem to understand that. The training, I'm very proud of the initiative that we've been doing. You know, we're very fortunate that, again, Legacy stepped up and awarded us a grant for, you know, having Doug Christensen being our mental health officer, our deputy, that's his job. And that's going to be something before I retire is going to be expanded upon, because the need is there in the community, you know, and it's just something that I'm very proud of, our department, with the initiatives that we've taken through the mental health side of things, because it's all connected. Addiction, mental health, it's all connected. And the people that are incarcerated, it's a very, very high percentage of them are struggling from either addiction or mental health issues or illnesses, or a combination, or most likely both. And I've always said, when people are in custody, it's our job to provide some opportunities for them to realize they need help, and we have help available. And then it really fits so well. I'm really, really happy that Susanna, she's doing an awesome job at our department. She's been with us since, I can't probably say, but I'm gonna early 2000s, and okay. You know, she's one of our leaders in the jail, and she's doing an outstanding job. Somebody that we all look up to. It's not easy being a corrections officer if you compare around, you know, other counties and the predicament that they're in with trying to find staff. Now, we're looking for staff, but not to the level of you see other sheriff's departments. Yeah. Or the prison system, and a lot of that's because of, and she kind of hit on it, or hinted on it, the morale. Mm-hmm. The morale within an organization is huge. If you have poor morale, you're losing a lot of people. They just don't want to come to work. And I think that our morale will never be perfect at any organization that you work at. You know, I'm sorry, but that's just reality. But it can be good. And where I look at it, you know, as in the position that I have, when people aren't leaving as much as in comparison to other, you know, counties and the prison system, it says a lot about our team that we have a pretty good morale, and that's a big part of the, you know, of Lola. I mean, once we, you know, made the notification to the sheriff's department, all of our staff, hey, we're going to get a therapy dog. The positive feedback that we were getting from our staff, especially in the jail, was just overwhelming. Just saying, hey, we made our team made a great decision together to move forward with this, and that means a lot.
The impact on the clientele, the you know, the prisoners in the jail, it's certainly noteworthy and something we've touched on. But I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle either of the impact Lola can have on the staff. And Sheriff Becker touching on that, you've touched on that a little bit, Susan. That's something that goes a little bit farther than I think we can really put into words. And when we talk about the people that are some of the bravest people in our society, individuals like yourselves that are taking on these jobs, that are doing the jobs that not everybody will do, I want you guys happy. I want you guys feeling pretty good. I want you guys in pretty good spirits. I would think everybody in this community would. When it comes to that, you mentioned something I think really noteworthy, sir, when you mentioned the morale, both of you have, the morale in the jail, the morale at the department and these things. If I said here at WFHR our morale was good, that's, you know, pretty understandable. I think most people would not only agree with that, or would say, hey, yeah, that makes sense. Of course it should be. You guys are, you know, entertainment, all that. You tell me that your department, your people are in good spirits, have good morale. Mm-hmm. That's really saying something. Like, that is really impressive. That is not only encouraging and good to hear for all of us as citizens that have your back and that appreciate what you guys do, but just in general, just, okay, that's very cool to hear. I don't want to skate past that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, appreciate you bringing it up.
When it comes to other things that Lola can do in the community, I think that that's another mm-hmm. noteworthy part of this, too.
Yeah.
We're always talking about it's whether it should be on your shoulders or not, I think, is a whole other discussion. I don't think it should be, but it is on your guys' shoulders oftentimes to build this bridge between community and law enforcement, to strengthen those ties. Dogs are great. Dogs do help do that. I mean, they're great. They're a great icebreaker. They're a great way, especially with kids. And I think that impact she can bring is also noteworthy.
Yes, I think it's going to be very important to get Lola out mm-hmm. into the community mm-hmm. At events and be able to meet the public, because, yes, she is the department's dog, but she's also the community and part of it.
Yeah.
And we want her to get out there and, you know, meet people.
Is Lola ready for it? Is she ready for the big time? Is she ready? No.
She thinks she is.
She thinks she is. She definitely thinks she is.
Rookie right now.
Yeah.
We'll work it out.
So right now she's going to start obedience classes the end of this month. We're going to keep her in obedience classes until she's a year. To become certified as a therapy dog, they do not do the actual certification process until they are a year old.
Interesting. I didn't
yes.
know that. Huh.
So then after she becomes a year, we'll still be working with her up until that time, and then hopefully We'll get her certified right away. Right now she's, you know, we limit her access to everybody, you know, in the jail and out in public. I'm always with her, and right now that's the way it'll be until she becomes certified.
As far as you and Lola goes, how has that bonding been going? How are you guys doing?
Oh, well, I love dogs. Lola has four other brothers at home.
Nice.
And three of them are 95 pounds plus, so she's pretty tiny.
Yeah, yeah.
But they all love her and play with her, and she's getting along very well.
So very good to hear.
Fitting in.
Very, very good to hear.
And that's a great part of this, too, because Susanna has, you know, other animals at home, so Lola can be acclimated not only with people, but other animals as well. And that's important, because as Susanna and Lola get out in the community, there's going to be a lot of that interaction coming up, whether she likes it or not.
How does this tie into, or does it tie into, the canine unit?
Yeah, she's part of the canine unit. Obviously, a different role, different kind of dog. This is a, you know, a therapy dog. It's not a typical law enforcement dog that, you know, it can go out on deployments for whether it's either a drug investigation or you know, any type of those things that we've talked about in the past. But so it's different, but she's still part of the canine unit.
It would be interesting to see her on a call, just because it's a very different animal, a very different dog in that scenario, I'm sure.
Yeah, Oshkosh PD has a therapy dog that's assigned to patrol.
Hmm.
So any of those calls of service that revolve around mental health, you know, or a high-stress call that is now at a point where it's calmed down, where there can be interaction with, you know, victims, whether it's a child or somebody of a sexual assault or something like that. That's a good role to bring a dog in where you have, you know, people's feelings and emotions at such a different level where they need to calm down and talk to us. That's a great role for a therapy dog.
And that you teed me up perfectly, sir, where I wanted to kind of wrap up the conversation, at least as far as talking canines and talking therapy animals and that. When it comes to therapy, I imagine in order to be an officer, to be in the positions that you guys are, you guys took plenty of psychology classes and therapy classes. No, that's right, because it's not supposed to be on your plate. So if we're going to put those kind of things on your plate and we're going to put you guys in those situations, well, we wouldn't send you out there without a vest. We wouldn't send you out there without without your badge, without all your equipment. This is part of the equipment now.
Right.
This is one of the things that helps with that. It's the least we can do as a society, giving you guys all the tools you need. And something like this is a big part of your arsenal, big part of your toolkit.
Definitely. Yeah. It, like I said in the beginning of the show, this really fit, you know, those mental health initiatives that we've been doing, you know, throughout the years. And especially, we're so grateful to the legacy and the foundation that has been such a huge supporter of us and our canine units. So this was a perfect opportunity to, use the money that we're awarded towards, you know, a therapy dog.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll be back with more with Wood County Sheriff's Department and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media right here on Midday Magazine at WFHR.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo. We learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Hey, Badger fans, you've only got a few more chances to catch your nationally ranked Badger men's hockey team at the Kohl Center this season. Secure your tickets today and join us for the historic 75th season of Badger men's hockey. For more information and to get your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers are considering letting prosecutors have more time to bring charges for serious crimes. For now, prosecutors have 1 year to bring an accused offender to court. A new bill would extend that to 3 years. Supporters say it can take longer than a year to match DNA evidence to a suspect. Opponents say the state should hire more crime lab workers to make the job faster. People starting new farms in Wisconsin are encouraged to consider leasing land instead of buying. Steve Okunik is with the University of Wisconsin Extension. He says leasing land is often easier for startups.
Especially if you're a new person coming into a neighborhood, it can be very difficult. It comes down to networking.
Nationwide, the number of new farmers with less than 5 years of experience has gone up by 17%. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Registration is open now for the Wood County Housing Summit. This event, taking place at Mid-State Technical College in Wisconsin Rapids, is open to everyone.
If you're a concerned citizen, if you are a renter, a homeowner, somebody who is a landlord, property manager.
That's Kaylee Mengel, the Public Health Policy and Communication Coordinator for the Wood County Health Department. The Housing Summit is March 7th from 9:30 to 3:30 at Mid-State.
And it applies to people who are homeless, too. So yes. This is just our way of bringing people together so we can talk, we can learn about success stories in our state and then find solutions.
There are a limited number of seats available and registration closes on February 19th. You can visit healthypeoplewoodcounty.org to register or find the link on their Facebook page. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point, and I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did, and you know if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow,
weekday morning 6 till 8
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
More changes in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers have hired a new linebackers coach. Anthony Campanile spent the last four seasons with the Dolphins. Meanwhile, the Dolphins have named Joe Barry their new linebackers coach. College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers in Ann Arbor to face the Michigan Wolverines. Then on Saturday, they're on the road against Rutgers. NBA, the Bucks losing in Phoenix 114-106. Giannis led the game with 34 points, but the Bucks were shorthanded due to injuries. Strange situation. The NBA named Doc Rivers the head coach of the Eastern Conference team with the upcoming All-Star game, even though Adrian Griffin was the head coach when the team had the second best record in the conference. Doc Rivers suggesting he give the check and ring to Griffin.
Well, Adrian's going to get some money, that's for sure, and a ring. Other than me, maybe I'll send my staff.
Shaq had this to say on TNT.
Like he said, it's one of those quirky things. Accidental. I like his response.
That's Shaquille O'Neal with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We smashed record highs yesterday, so why not again today? The number to beat is 51 degrees set back in 1987, and today's highs are expected to rise to the low 50s. Stuck under cloudy skies, though, and winds becoming breezy, gusting up to 25 miles per hour. Currently, it's 48.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jam from Racine. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jam. I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't say, oh, man, she's a Republican. And she's a Democrat, she's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point. And I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did. And you know, if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome back, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this February 7th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We're joined by our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and, of course, our Wood County Sheriff's Department Sheriff Sean Becker with us. Sean, I know you've got some other things we wanted to touch on today. Where do you want to start?
I'll start with Gary. Gary Platt passed away, a good friend of mine. I want to thank you and everybody here for the opportunity of getting him to come on to the radio show. He made his 500th game at Lambeau, and the organization at Green Bay was phenomenal. Mark Murphy came out and greeted him. They upgraded his seats, so he was comfortable and had a had a great time. I just wish we had more time with him. Mm-hmm. We knew he was struggling. The last several months, mm-hmm. you could tell the cancer was getting to him, but he still had an upbeat attitude and wanted to be around people, and he made his personal goal of that game. And then the people at Riverview Hospital treated him so well. There was an opportunity where in his room he had a little party, and they were okay with that. He invited a lot of his closer friends that he knew from tip up, and we all made it there and had an opportunity just to listen to him talk. Cool. And the stories that man had, it was fun to listen to, and a lot of history there, not only just about Packer games, but about life in general. And it's very unfortunate. It's sad, but those situations aren't up to us. I wish he was here with us today, but he is in spirit. I know he's looking down right now. He's not in pain anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just a part of life that's hard, but.
Really appreciate you bringing Gary on the air with us and having the time with him. I felt humbled to be able to talk with him about in life and the kind of person he was and everything. And certainly sending our thoughts, our feelings, our hearts out to all of his loved ones, his friends like yourself, people that cared about him. I saw that news and it broke my heart. And at the same time, I was humbled and thankful that we got the chance to talk with Gary. That was really great to be able to have that moment.
Yeah, from the bottom of my heart, thank you, James, for the opportunity of getting him to come. I didn't think he would.
It was kind of a last minute deal.
I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And then he agreed to come and just talk about his life, and that was fun. And with Gary, he always made Julie and I feel comfortable. When I would go to tip up and just sit down and have a beverage, and he's like, you're not here to talk about work.
Right.
You're here just to be you and relax. And that was like the first thing that, because I knew him from other events, and then, we started to hang out there periodically, and I'll never forget that. It's like, okay, sometimes when you're in situations, people like to do shop talk and whatnot, and he'd always be very protective of me and tell people, hey, knock it off, I didn't mind if people brought up work. Yeah. I mean, it's part of the job. I get that, but he's always protective of us. Of hey, let's let him enjoy himself and be a normal person, whatever that means. And I always appreciate that.
I don't think a lot of people even think about that when it comes to that position or a lot of positions like it and everything. You're able to go somewhere and just be Sean.
Yeah,
and that had to mean the world to you. I'm sure
it did, and that's exactly what he said, James. He just wants to be Sean. You don't have to call me Sheriff. You call me Sean, and I'd love to have a conversation with anybody about anything.
Yeah,
and work's fine, but he was very very protective about that, and it really led down to just an awesome close friendship.
He's a good guy. Good guy. I'm going to be missed.
He is. But, you know, at tip up, they've got the ball that Mark Murphy gave him that was personalized to Gary on display. And they're going to keep adding to some things of that. So when people do come there, they can take a look at it.
Shout out to them at tip up. Good on them. That's
McDonald's cool. are great people.
Yeah, they are. We had some other news we were going to get to.
Yeah, Polar Plunge went last weekend over at Anchor Bay. They did it a little different this year. And now that I've gone through it, I liked it. They had you run in and run out. And I'm like, the anxiety of it never changes. It's like, this is going to be cold. I've done it for, I don't know how many years, well over 10. And so it's different just because of the weather being so mild out there. So, you know, our team did awesome. Terry Johnson raised the most money, one of our deputies. But we had a team of 10 people. Mm. And I put the goal out, like, hey, if you raise $7,500, I'll plunge.
Yeah.
Well, they did.
Nice.
Which is great. We raised about $11,000. And again, big shout out to Terry. I recruited a friend, Joe Rubitsky. I swore him in for an hour and gave him a uniform. He raised over $2,000 too. And said, he said, next year, if he plunges with us, he wants to wear an orange uniform with us and we can do a skit. I'm like, well, I'll tell you what, we'll talk about that and maybe put a dollar amount on that as well.
Yeah.
So if we raise the money, we'll do that. But overall, you know, it's just the team did awesome. Very proud of them. It's nice to see, you know, new people get involved. A lot of our corrections officers have been taking the plunge the last couple of years. I'm really proud of them for stepping up, because a lot of the patrol people, except for a couple, Brandon Christensen and Terry Johnson, otherwise, you know, a lot of our COs took part of it. So it's great to see fresh faces do this and continue on. It's just such a great partnership with Special Olympics, and I know you've had Cole on here quite a bit, and he crushed it. He raised over $16,000.
Nice.
That was a record for him. So
well done, young man. Nice.
Yeah. He hopefully he'll keep plunging.
Yeah.
You know, I know he's done it now 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So I can imagine he's probably raised close to, you know, over $150,000 throughout that time frame. That's what I was thinking.
The amount of years, you mentioned how many years you've done this. Now you say something like that, and the first thing I thought of was, well, dang, how much money you've raised over those times, how much awareness you've probably raised over those years. That's impressive.
Yeah.
The word impressive doesn't seem to cover it, but that's all I got. It is. That's impressive.
Yeah. It just shows a lot about our community,
you
know, getting behind some really awesome causes. And this has been there for, you know, out there for several years, and it's nice to see the venue back out at Anchor Bay. The folks there just did a phenomenal job having the event. You know, the McHelps and Warders just did a great job getting volunteers, staff, and because, you know, it was really crowded, and they had the parking, you know, worked out. They worked, you know, with us, with our rescue unit, the, you know, beer and fire department. They had everything, you know, working together where the event just went off without a hitch. And
good,
it was nice. Southbound was there. So once the jumping got done, they put on a great concert, great local band.
Great band.
Yeah, I can't say anything but positive things about the community event and how many people worked together to make it happen. So, again, another Polar Plunge in the books. Really proud of Ashley Hansen. She oversees this region for the Special Olympics.
Ashley's
so awesome. Known her for quite a while. So there's just so many, you know, great people and positions to make this happen.
I wish I got to talk to her more than once a year, because Ashley's awesome. She's fantastic. Was this the warmest one you've been a part of?
Yeah, but the water was still cold.
Yeah.
I think
it's still Wisconsin. It's still.
James, I think it probably was. I didn't need to sit in the hot tub very long. I walked in, touched the end, and then ran out. And it went real well.
The money and the awareness raised for Special Olympics is first and foremost, and so impactful, so important. We know the great work that it does. We see it all the time. And a big shout out to everybody a part of it for those reasons, certainly. But we were just talking earlier with Susan and about community involvement, and that part of this really is a key part of it too.
Yeah. No, it's that interaction. Anytime you can get the opportunity to have that, you know, that positive interaction with law enforcement, those are the best opportunities to have, you know, just because because, you know, unfortunately, there's situations in the community that we get involved in that can be viewed as negative. I mean, we have to do our job, but, yeah, you know, that community policing that's been out there forever is just so important for any law enforcement agency to take part in, whether it's the Polar Plunge or any other, you know, event, that a community event that's out there. You know, and that's why, you know, you love to talk about our canine unit, because that's a big thing, that a big request that we get, you know, whether it's at schools or you name it, any type of public event. You know, the bluegrass folks, mm-hmm. We were talking with them yesterday. We had an event over in Kellner at the Kellner Cafe, where we did a coffee with a cop. Sheriff Mike Lucas reached out, hey, you want to do this again, where we combine and we have, you know, members from both of our departments there. And we advertised that, and we had a really good showing. And then the folks, the representatives from Bluegrass on the lakes were there, and they wanted to, you know, get in connection with Sheriff Lucas, because the fundraising they do for a CISM team, they want to see that expand outside of Wood County and, mm-hmm. and combine into Portage County, cool. you know, and get that working within, you know, Portage County as well. And that was a great contact to have yesterday. And that's those community events that are out there that are so important to be part of. Again, with the canine unit, Susanna's going to have a great opportunity to get out there. You know, as Lola gets trained, gets a little bit yeah. bigger, you'll see her quite a bit out in the community.
We talk about community involvement, and you and I have talked on this a number of times. I like to show the person behind the badge, that you are mm-hmm. not just a badge, that you are a human being, and creating more of that in our society, more of that empathy and those opportunities. We talked about building that bridge from law enforcement to our community and that. Mm-hmm. Something I don't think we've touched on a lot, and something that I didn't think about until you and I started talking, was the end of this, of the recruitment part of it. That some of these interactions in the community, some of these interactions with at different events and everything, they're also an opportunity to recruit to whether it's young people who are not sure where they're going to go with their careers, or a person who has never maybe thought about this, but hey, I'm of age, I'm in shape,
yeah,
maybe I should be in the law enforcement. We are in need of good people,
yeah.
and that's just in general right now. I'm not even just talking about law enforcement. I just mean in general in society,
right.
Let alone in this field. The importance of this is only going to get more and more as we go along here. And you mentioned earlier that you got some positions open. So, you know, when it comes to that part of this, I think yeah. that's a key part of it too, an important part. Hey, we're always looking for good people in this industry.
Yeah, no, we've talked about that before, on how, you know, the interest in law enforcement has trended down so much, you know, and comparing to when I started my career in 1995, you know, competing against hundreds of people just to work, you know, here in central Wisconsin, and having to leave the area to get some experience somewhere. And that's what people were in the smaller agencies or more rural areas were looking at. And that's the way it was. Now it's completely different. I feel that the numbers are trending up.
I was going to ask,
I really, you know, looking at the enrollment at the academy at Mid-State Technical College, the last few academies have been full, where they're averaging around 24 students. And what you're seeing now, most of the students are not sworn. They're not sponsored by a law enforcement agency. But now you're seeing more agencies sponsoring people. You know, we've done it before with Terry Johnson, who I brought up. He came out from our jail. He's one of our sergeants, a leader back there, and earned his spot. And we put him through the academy. Pretty rare. I think we've only done that a couple times in our career. Sarah McCormick, years ago, also she was working in jail and worked her way to the road, but that was over 20-some years ago. But if you talk to other law enforcement agencies, especially around here, you know, Mike Lucas said that. He goes, you know, we're sponsoring somebody in the academy, you know, right now. You know, they have a job coming out. Back in the day, it wasn't like that. But I still look at the numbers. I think the general interest is coming back, you know, towards law enforcement. It's an awesome career. Of course, I'm somewhat biased because I've been doing it so long, but
sure.
but I can speak from the heart that this is something that, you know, I truly enjoy. I love it. You know, not just this position, but just being a law enforcement officer working for the team that we have is huge. And I think if, you know, people see that more and more, you're going to see that trend up, you know, continue to move up. We'll get back to what it was in the mid-90s. You know, I don't know.
Yeah,
But we're starting a new recruitment process for our deputy sheriff eligibility list. We're going to be opening that up relatively soon here. Our civil service commission is going to put that together probably in about a month. So we'll be accepting applications. We did have one opening that we filled with Ted Ashbeck Jr. Mm-hmm. Familiar name. His dad is the jail captain and oversees our jail. So it's a pretty proud moment. I'd love to get them both on the radio show just to talk about you know, their careers together. Now they're going to be at the same department. Ted's got a few years left, and he's doing a phenomenal job with, you know, running our current jail and then, you know, overseeing this huge project on the new jail.
Yeah.
He's been just doing a phenomenal job, and I'm really happy that he's going to, you know, stick out at least another three plus years and get the opportunity to work with his son. Scott Sager, one of our lieutenants, will be retiring probably sometime this year. So we'll have another opening that we'll address soon. But otherwise, we've been doing really well. And Susanna helps oversee our hiring process for corrections, and she does a phenomenal job, you know, keeping you know, up to date with applicants. And, you know, we've been adding staff because of the new facility. She's done a really nice job of filling those positions.
It's certainly, it's you know, well, it's not apples and oranges, but it's two different types of apples comparing and everything. But for the interview, I thought in this topic, about a month or two ago, I reached out to some people that I know in the Chicago Police Department and some people over in that area, and just talking about recruiting and talking about how that's going and everything. And they've seen a jump, not a huge jump, but they've seen a jump in these things. And I bring up Chicago because, you know, most people watch news, know and understand, you know, what's going on and what has been going on. I will note that Chicago is not a war zone. You can go to Chicago and have a good time and be safe. I not want anybody thinking that you can't go to that beautiful city. But it is noteworthy, and I think most people understand the violence and some of the things that go on. But they're seeing an increase in recruiting. And I asked, well, where's the numbers? What are the age range? And it's young people. And it's so many people that over the last 5 to 10 years have seen some of the stuff that's gone on. And we're seeing this not just in law enforcement, but in politics and a lot of other things. And young people aren't waiting anymore for us to retire or move out of the way, or for us to, you know, for them to hit a certain age to be able to make an impact on their community. They're doing this now. The young person that's growing up and grew up and thinking, well, I don't like bad cops. Well, then become a good one.
Right.
You know, instead of just complaining, instead of going online and posting a bunch of comments or something like that, you know, pick up a badge and get to work. And that's what so many of them are doing. And then we see here in our own community in some of these things that you touched on, we're seeing more and more of that. So, yeah, numbers may not be where they used to be or anything, but maybe the quality and the type of person we are getting is only going to make our society safer and more inviting, more of what it should have been, what we've always been wanting it to be.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really like the way the numbers are going. You know, I always bring up Kurt Hoyer and his role over at Mid-State. I think that helps, you know, quite a bit. And no, we're, you know, I'm excited to see the future. And we're lucky we don't have like lots of openings. You know, our department is fairly young. You know, we're at that middle age of, you know, I think probably the average age of our deputies are around mid-30s. You know, so you're not going to see a huge amount of retirement's coming this way. I mean, I hate to say it, probably be the next one in about 6 years. Or, you know, Doug Christensen and I are pretty close to age, and so is Sarah McCormick. But we're lucky we have an agency that you don't see the door, that revolving door.
That's actually kind of funny that you think we're going to let you retire. That's pretty funny. That's pretty good.
Well, I would want one more time. No, so you're stuck with me for about 6 more years.
A little bit longer. You mentioned the Ashbecks, and I wanted to touch on that again because that is pretty cool. How often does that happen? Where you know, speaking of recruiting and a lot of that, there isn't a whole ton of that you see in this industry and in this community and everything. To see that is pretty cool.
It was, you know, and I go back to a conversation Ted and I had in the squad room probably like 5 years ago when Teddy, his son, was going to Whitewater. He's an Assumption grad and, you know, great football player, and went down to Whitewater. And I don't think initially his thought or plan was to, you know, go into law enforcement. And Ted Sr. didn't want him to. You know, and he's like, oh, if he does, I'm not going to pay for school and whatever. And I'm like, I go, oh, you know, and we didn't argue, but I'm like, well, if either one of my daughters wanted to be part of this profession, I'll be a resource and let you make that decision on your own. You know, but, you know, that's how parents are.
Oh, yeah,
and then I think, you know, I don't know, he'll have to explain at what point where he thought you know, I want to be part of this team. I want to be part of the law enforcement profession. And probably halfway through his college career or somewhere in that point, it's like, hey, I want to be a cop, you know. And we hired him as a part-time deputy, and we knew he was a good one, and we didn't have any openings at the time. But Portage County hired him, and he had been working for Portage about 8-9 months, and then we had an unexpected opening, and he was number one on our list, and we gave to him, and he took it.
Nice.
Sheriff Lucas wasn't really happy,
but
you know, we could, you know, hey, it is what it is.
He's poached from you, too.
And that he has. But, no, we're lucky, and he's got some experience. He's very smart. You know, like I said, he earned his four-year degree over at Whitewater, and I'm proud to see him come back and get the opportunity to work at the Wood County Sheriff's Department, you know, with his dad, with his dad. And just when we swore him in, we don't have a big ceremony like some other agencies do, and, you know, maybe someday we should, but when we swore Teddy in, you know, his dad was there, mom, Pamela, works for Human Services, and his sister works up in the clerk court's office. It was just a cool department moment where you can really see that. You know, and Ted Senior gave him his badge. You know, that passed it along. Cool. It's one of those really special moments.
That been a
I was
deep
really
moment. Yeah.
Proud to be part of.
Sir, we've got just a couple of minutes left.
Sure.
Anything you wanted to touch on before we wrap up?
Congrats to Sheena Bowl. She just finished her certified licensed professional counselor.
Cool.
She's part of our jail. She works under a contract with. Riverview Behavioral Health, Aspires Behavioral Health, and does our inmate mental health, you know, counseling. So she worked really hard, working full-time, having a child, and now going through to get that. So congrats.
Well, very impressive.
We'll have to have her on the radio, but really proud to have her part of the team. We had Rebecca Ashbeck, one of our jail nurses, leave. She's going over to Winnebago Mental Health. So understood that, but we'll miss her. She's a great fit. Hated to see her go, and maybe she'll get some experience over there and come back. You know, that's kind of what we had brought up. What else do we? We had a hit and run last Friday, and that was out on Ranger Road, where a 7-year-old male subject ran into another truck that was being loaded up onto a vehicle or up onto a trailer. And some people were hurt, but not seriously, thankfully, but decided to take off. And really bothers me. Charlie Hugesteger, our captain, you know, let me know on Friday when it happened, and then had a plan of what we're going to do to get that information out to the public. And we did quite rapidly on social media, and we got tips. So we, again, want to thank the community for helping us with that. Those are tough investigations sometimes, and you know, the driver, you know, it's upsetting. I mean, because he left the scene, and okay, all right, you're shaken up, I get it, but then do the right thing and call.
Yep.
You know what he did? He called a salvage yard to get parts for his vehicle because they're left at the scene. That's criminal thinking.
Yep.
And maybe this individual isn't a criminal, but now what you're thinking after the fact, and we had another one similar to that, you know, west of Wisconsin Rapids that did the same thing. It's just like, you know, do the right thing. You get home, and I get it. I think we all get it as law enforcement officers. You should stay at the scene. There's a reason why you took off. All right, we'll figure that out later. But you know, these are people's lives that you put in jeopardy, and you did the wrong thing.
Yeah, you're only compounding it, making it worse by doing that. You're doubling down in the wrong direction. You're really only making the situation worse. And so many people out there don't think that they're criminals, but then they do criminal things. That turns you into a criminal. Like most criminals don't think of themselves as criminals; they just are.
You're
like,
exactly right. Once you open that, you pick up that phone and you call, you know, a salvage yard to get parts. All right, you stepped down exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
Probably a good person.
Yeah.
But now you've started to think like a criminal, and look at the, you know, people's lives you put in jeopardy.
Every jail in America has good people in it.
Yeah,
like everyone. Like anybody can fall into this, and everybody can be this person, be the right type of person. Stay there. You know, do it, and it's going to be a lot easier and a lot better and a lot less on you than it would be otherwise.
Yeah.
Sir, thank you again so much for the time. Always good to talk with you, Sean.
Yeah.
If people have follow-up questions, they want to talk with you about other things, how can they reach you?
Give me a call at the Sheriff's Department anytime.
appreciate the time from you. Thanks so much to Lieutenant Susan Wagner for joining us, of course. We really appreciate the time from Susan. And a gigantic thank you to Lola. Big, big thank you to Lola. We really appreciate her being here. Thanks to Joe and the gang over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate you guys as well. We're looking forward to talking next month.
Thanks for the card.
We'll get back at you. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allbold. Noon to 3 on Thursday, our guest is Keegan Kelly from Crack.com. Obscure sitcoms right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point, and I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did, and you know if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow,
weekday morning 6 till 8
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Oklahoma